I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as Gary Neville sends a big Michael Carrick warning. He's got a big scoop on what United are about to do with the managerial position. Big news this morning. Also, United about to make a shock move for a centre-back from Bournemouth. Is it the right move? I think it's the wrong move. I think we should be signing players from Bournemouth, but not this player. Also, is Tonali about to snub Manchester United when we've only just got in the race? There's a story coming out this morning around that as well. And other clubs looking at Michael Carrick and a few bits as well. And tomorrow, we are playing West Ham. So it's a busy day for us today. We've got the Carrick press conference at 12:30. I've got my live preview at 8:00. Loads to get into on the show this morning. And I've got to say, one of my favourite videos I've done in a long time. If you've not seen the 7 a.m. Red Alert video, check it out. Loads of good comments on it. I think it's the most important thing going on with Man United in relation to recruitment and transfers at the moment. So check that out. But lots to get into. Are you tired, Mark? I didn't go to bed till 3:30 this morning, so I've had about 4.5 hours sleep. I actually feel okay, but sometimes with your lack of sleep, it hits you the next day. So Tuesday could be a terrible Tuesday, but it's match day tomorrow. So I think I'm buzzing on cherry Dr. Pepper, of which I had copious amounts last night, and sugar, and United, and a very good day yesterday with Seb's team winning. My daughter played half a game for the 21s and did well. They won as well. Liverpool lost. So there's a lot to be positive around Man United at the moment. But let's get into the headline that we're going to start off with. So this was a very interesting update. I don't know whether actually that many people have heard this. This is probably the biggest update we've had about Michael Carrick's future since he came into the job. 4 wins in a row. Some of you want to give him the job now. Some people want to wait till the summer. Some people don't want to give him the job at all. Well, this is what Gary Neville had to say yesterday. And it's the most significant update we've had. And it's not from a journalist, it's from Gary Neville. He said, I've asked the club and they've said, Gary Neville on Man United's hunt for a permanent head coach. He said, I asked the club and they said they've actually begun the process now of starting to look for another manager. They've started the process of speaking to and looking at other managers, building all the sorts of data and analysing who should be the next manager of the club. United have said they're not going to be bounced into making an appointment. They're going to wait until towards the end of the season. If Michael Carrick then, at that point, makes himself available for the job, he would then go into the process versus the likes of Thomas Tuchel and all others that are going to become available in the summer. So what are your thoughts about that? Because that's a very significant update in relation to what Man United are planning to do at the moment. I mean, look, Some people might be happy with that. Some people might not be happy with that. I think, in a sense, it's quite interesting because it's a very different view in relation to how we behaved with Ollie. And a lot of people want to compare this situation to Solskjaer. But if you remember what happened with Solskjaer, Ed Woodward said when we appointed Solskjaer in the December that we would... go through a rigorous recruitment process in the summer. And then he gave Ollie the job in the March. Carrick's just won 4 games in a row. And the update from the board is that they're not going to be swayed by that, that they will wait until the summer, no matter what. So look, interesting. Very, very interesting. There was a little bit more to it at the moment. Gary Neville actually said, I asked the club what is the official position of the club in terms of what you're saying publicly to everybody else. And they said that they've begun the process, that they're speaking to managers and they're building data. And they've also said, irrespective of wins or draws or losses on the pitch in the next couple of months, they're going to wait towards the end of the season. And then they've said that if Michael Carrick makes himself available, and Gary Neville said, I have actually wondered whether Michael will even do that. He's someone who always works in the best interest of the football club. And he might feel that he's not actually looking to get the job. And if he is, maybe he goes into the process at the end of the season. So look, I'm very adamant that this football club is run by morons and they don't know what they're doing. So it does somewhat surprise me when you get an update like that is apparently an official position from the club. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. It was Sir Jim Ratcliffe who said in September or October that Amrin was going to get 3 years and he got 3 months. It was Sir Jim Ratcliffe that said Dan Ashworth was one of the best director of footballs in the world and sacked him after 3 months. And it was Jim Ratcliffe who said we're going to recruit best in class and recruited Jason Wilcox. So you can't take it to the bank and cash it. However, as an official position, if there's any element of truth in it, I actually don't mind it. I actually don't mind it at all. So look, the official position is that Michael Carrick will not be given the job before the end of the season. And even if he keeps winning, he will go into the pot with everybody else who will be interviewed for the job in the summer. I think that's the logical position to be in. I know some of you won't believe it. Some of you won't like it. But I agree with that. London says it's spin. I don't know what spin it would be, though, mate. I think sometimes the word spin is used, and I use the word spin, but it doesn't. I think you've got to be better than that. I don't want to be telling people off because I've not had a lot of sleep, but it's spin. It's just like, what does that even mean? You're better than that. What do you mean it's spin? Why would it be spin? It's an official position from the club that they've given to Gary Neville. Why would it be spin? What it is the truth today. It's whether it's the truth tomorrow. Spin is we're going to sign Cristiano Ronaldo from Saudi. Spin is we're not buying in January because we're going to go big in the summer. And then in February, they go, we might not be able to go big in the summer. Spin is an outright bullshit lie. I don't think they're lying about that. I don't think they're giving Carrick the job and they're telling everybody they're not. I think they'd be doing quite the opposite. So as Pete says, at face value, it seems reasonable. It's just whether you can trust it in a month or two. We'll come back to that. Right. Also, a lot of people talking about Tonali on the show this morning. It is a new show and we have got quite a lot to get through. We can circle back into this, get your comments in. That's how I like to do it. Let's talk about... It's also very interesting, this, because we spoke about this on the show yesterday morning. And I'm not saying we had an exclusive because there was talk of Tonali last week. But what we had yesterday morning as our exclusive was that... not that Tonali was an interest of United, but our exclusive was that United are looking at Newcastle in the summer with very beady eyes on people like Tonali, Bruno G and Anthony Gordon, because they feel that Newcastle without Champions League football are vulnerable and those players are going to be angling for a move. And Tonali fits perfectly as a replacement for Casemiro. We then had Mike McGrath in the Telegraph yesterday afternoon confirming that he's high on the list. So look, there's credibility to that story as far as I'm concerned, whether you want to believe it or not. However, this morning I've seen, I don't even know where it's coming from. I've seen a few people this morning saying that Tonali wants to go back to Italy. This is within 24 hours of it being confirmed that United are in for Tonali and interested in Newcastle players. And 24 hours later, we're hearing that Tonali wants to go back to Italy and is effectively snubbing Manchester United. Now, this is spin. This is unfounded. This is nonsense. This is a story being spun by somebody who wants some credibility or wants to change the narrative. There is nothing to suggest that Tonali wants to go back to Italy. There's nothing to suggest that he's leaving Newcastle. All there is Manchester United lining up a transfer for Tonali if and when he becomes available in the summer. We're not in advanced talks. He's not snubbed us. And he's not put a transfer request in to go back to Italy. So just chill out. It's another name for the list. Whether it's Baliba, Wharton, Stiller, Anderson, Tonali, it's another credible name for the list. That spin to say we've been snubbed because he wants to go back to Italy. And can we just hold on for a minute? Because I think sometimes there is a rush to move from a story to another story. There is a rush to move from right to left. Sometimes we can just say, Tonali's on the list, let's see what happens. It's early February. We don't need to go from he's on the list to he's off the list in 24 hours. He's on the list. He's a player that we're looking at. I've just realised I shouldn't be saying he's on the list. At this current time and climate, saying someone's on the list, I've just realised, is not the best use of terms. But he's not on that list. He is on Manchester United's transfer list. And he is a player that Man United are looking at. He hasn't snubbed us because he wants to go back to Italy. I mean, Tonali's Italian and he wants to go back to Italy. It's like saying Xerxes wants to go back to Italy because he played in Italy and he's not even Italian. But what I'm saying is just because he's Italian doesn't mean he wants to go back to Italy. And also, he's under contract at Newcastle. It's preposterous that this would even be a story. The guy signed for Newcastle from AC Milan. He was suspended for a huge amount of time. I would expect there's a huge amount of respect for Newcastle and Newcastle Football Club because of them supporting him when they spent a lot of money on him. I mean, he cost them about 60 million quid. So he's not cheap. They've stood by him. And also, let's get real. He has got a couple of years left on his contract. What Italian club is able to pay Tonali more than 150 grand a week and give Newcastle 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 million pounds? It's not happening. So whether he wants to go back to Italy or not, it ain't happening anyway. So sometimes you just got to look at the story and go, bullshit. Why are we spinning a story that's a positive story into something that's not true and negative? So look, this is why I love this community, because we discuss things and we talk it through. The next thing I want to talk about is, there's some good comments in the live chat. I'm going to talk about those super chats in a minute, but we've sort of got a few good stories to get into this morning, and we can sort of come back on some of them. Obviously, got the Gary Neville update. There's actually talk of Michael Carrick being an option for other clubs as well. But I wanted to just talk about this as well and throw this into the equation. It was about Manchester. It came out yesterday. Couple of stories, actually, both transfer related, but it came out yesterday that Manchester United are exploring a move for Bournemouth centre-back Marco Senesi. And it came out from Italian reports that Manchester United were looking at him. Now, it's not the first time, it's not even the second time that we've been linked to him. Now, I believe he is out of contract in the summer, currently 28 years of age. He'll be 29 in May. Argentinian, actually, not actually Italian. I think some people think he's Italian. Came into Bournemouth in 2022 from Feyenoord. Has two caps for Argentina. Contract situation, out of contract in the summer and won't renew. So it's a free deal for a 29-year-old centre-back who plays for Bournemouth and is more and more regularly being linked with Manchester United. Don't do it. Don't do it. In my opinion, don't do it. This is not the centre-back Manchester United should be looking at. I actually don't rate him. I know Bournemouth have been quite good, but I actually don't rate him. I don't think he's that good. I mean, I watched them play against Man City in the autumn, and he was at fault for both goals, wandering out of position in a back. They were playing a high line as well, and I there's no doubt he's a steady steady Premier League centre back, but he's not Harry Maguire. Like he's not Johnny Evans. He's not. Yeah, I don't think he's definitely not an upgrade on Martinez and De Ligt, and he'd be a barrier to Yarrow in heaven. So I think when we are, Couch Potato disagrees with me. Well, tell me why you disagree. He was shocking in the game against City. It's probably an unfair pilot for him, to be fair, or sample. But you know, sometimes a signing inspires you and gets you excited. And sometimes you look at a signing and you go, I can see the potential in it. And then sometimes you look at a signing and you go, that's meh. And I'm sort of like, it's a meh signing. He's like 29 in the summer. So you're going to get maximum 2 or 3 years out of him. And he's a bench filler straight away. It's just a meh signing, you know. I understand why Man United might be interested in him. He's Premier League proven and he's cheap. He's a centre-back and he's cheap. And I'm not saying... I don't think Harry Maguire probably should stay at Man United in the summer. I think there's a case to say he should move on. But I don't think Senesi for Maguire is necessarily the sort of upgrade I'd want. I'm not saying Senesi wouldn't give us more years. And I'm not saying Senesi can't compete with Harry Maguire, but it just seems like quite a dull... Well, yeah, I agree with Mini Brew. We can do better. It just seems like a bit of a meh signing, you know? Wouldn't rule it out. I think the fact that he's free and cheap will always make somebody rise to the top at Manchester United. I mean, look, the way I look at Man United is if you take them out for a meal and they're having and everyone's paying for themselves and it's a Friday night and you look at the best steak on the menu and it's 50 quid with all the trimmings and you go, there you go. When they take Man United's order, they're probably looking at what's the cheapest thing that they like. So they probably just go for a bowl of chips or something like that and a glass of water from the tap. They're cheap and they love to be cheap when they can be. That doesn't mean we won't spend big when we need to. If it's a shirt seller or a player that's, you know, wants to come to the club, we will spend money. But I think the attraction of Senesi will be he's cheap in a position where they don't want to spend a lot of money. Man United are going to want to spend their budget on midfielders, maybe a left back, maybe a left winger. The centre-back, if they can find somebody cheap, they will look for them. And as Gaz United says, that's a squad player at best. So look, the Senesi links are, I'm not going to bring stuff in unless I'm going to laugh at it that's not credible or viable or realistic. There's no doubt that Senesi of Bournemouth is out of contract in the summer. He's Premier League proven. And as a centre-back to come in and boost our roster for free, they might look at it. He'd probably be appealing. You know, Bournemouth to Man United would probably be very appealing. But it seems a little bit meh to me, as I said. But it doesn't mean we won't do it. What I would say about Bournemouth is if you're looking at players at Bournemouth, I think Scott, Truffert, Tyler Adams, maybe even Kroupe, to be honest. But they've got players at Bournemouth that I definitely would look at ahead of Senesi. He wouldn't be in my top five, if I'm being completely honest. But there we go. Banter F5G says, you're funny. You'd rather take Bruno G and not take Senesi, and you were blabbing about how United need change now. Mate, I might have only had 5 hours sleep, but I don't get the angle here. You're taking the piss out of me because I want Bruno G and not Senesi, and you were blabbing about how United need change now. Help me with that. Is that just a flaw in my armoury because I haven't had enough sleep? He's taking the piss out of me because I would rather take Bruno G and not take Senesi, and you were blabbing about how United need change now. Bruno Guimaraes is a midfielder. Bruno Guimaraes is a midfielder, and Senesi would be a bench centre-back. What's your point? The only thing you could be talking about is age, but I don't mind signing a 29-year-old. I've got a problem with signing a 29-year-old. Plus, Bruno G's not 29 till November, whereas Senesi's 29 before the end of the season. So there's a slight difference there. But I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about the signing. Bruno Guimaraes would go straight into the team in our midfield at 28 years of age, 29 in November. Senesi would go straight onto our bench, cheap, at 29 in May. I don't get your point. Midfield is more of a priority than a bench centre-back. Anyway, we'll get some of your comments anyway, because that was a funny one. Would you take Ballard from Sunderland? I mean, Ballard at Sunderland is literally Harry Maguire. Like, I don't think you could find a player more Harry Maguire than Ballard from Sunderland. I don't think United are going to look at Daniel Ballard at all, but he even looks like Harry Maguire a little bit, I think, in a not looking like Harry Maguire way. So he's 26 years of age. He's had a very good season. He's 6'2", and I don't think Ballard could be Harry Maguire. I don't think there's a centre back. I mean, I'm not saying he's a dead ringer in the way that he plays, but if you wanted a Harry Maguire replacement, I think Ballard is about. Can you think of a centre back in world football that is more Harry Maguire than Ballard at Sunderland? Maybe Tarkowski a little bit, but I think Ballard is. If you want, and look, there's nothing wrong with doing that. I mean, Harry Maguire needs replacing, and if you want a player like Harry Maguire, who does have his value in the air, then maybe you do go for someone like that. I mean, if somebody out there could find a Casemiro replacement, because I think having a centre defensive midfielder that's good in the air is going to be very difficult to replace. Very, very difficult. Keel Robinson says, after 10 wins in a row, in fact, there's a bit of homework for you this morning. Who replaces Casemiro? Who, obviously Casemiro's legs are going, but let's say good Casemiro, but also is very good in the air. I don't know that there is anybody. I can't think of a CDM as good as Casemiro in the air. I think he's ridiculously good in the air for a centre defensive midfielder. Chris Jackson, thanks for your super chat this morning. He says, we need to take our time to make the right decision. World Cup at Ford's is time for manager decision. Ford good matches is not good enough. A sample United, says Chris Jackson. Yeah, well, look, if you're tuning in a little bit late, we've gone through some very good stories this morning and we have got more. The big story we started with is that Onana at Villa is a good shout. Whoever's saying that, well done, London and Svensson. Gary Neville gave a very big update last night that he's spoken to the club and the official stance is they will not give Michael Carrick the job under any circumstances this season. He will go into the pot in the summer no matter what. I'm happy with that. I don't trust that. I guarantee they're telling the truth. I'm guaranteeing they've told Gary Neville that. And I guarantee that's the official line at the moment. But it scares me that they might change it in March like they did with Solskjaer. But I'm quite comfortable with that. And as Chris Jackson says with his super chat, we do need to take our time to make the right decision. And the World Cup affords us time as well. I've always said, even if Carrick deserves the job, you put him into the hat. I mean, Rooney does his podcast on a Monday morning. He's saying again, if Carrick keeps winning, it's really difficult not to give him the job. I think Rooney's a little bit too emotional because he likes Carrick. And I think he just thinks if you win a load of games, you should get the Man United job. I think that's too simplistic. I understand it, but I think it's too simplistic. I don't think you can just sit there and go, if Michael Carrick wins 10 games, he should get the job. I don't think that's right. We've literally done that before. When the evidence suggests that interim coaches aren't real, then why would you give any interim the job just because he wins a load of games? I think we need to wait till the summer. My fear is that we jump on this bandwagon that is not real. It's a fantasy. You can't... It's like saying, look, Amrim's job was definitely knock the mansion down and rebuild it. And Carrick's job is definitely don't knock the mansion down, make do with what you've got and enjoy it. And the mansion needs knocking down. So until Carrick starts knocking things down, which he's not going to do, you don't know whether he's going to be the guy or not. So I think you've got to wait till the summer and ask Michael Carrick what his plans are and give him a proper interview, because this world we're living in at the moment isn't real. I mean, if Romero doesn't get sent off on Saturday, do we win? We beat Fulham with a last minute winner. If Delo gets sent off against Man City, do we win? We've won all those games and Michael Carrick deserves credit and we've got every right to celebrate it. But the only game where I think there is no question mark about it is Arsenal, which is funnily enough, the title, they're going to win the title. But there's fine margins in some of these results and they could flip the other way very, very easily. So, and I don't trust these players. I don't trust these players. They can turn the switch on for 8 games and they can switch it off for 8 games. So Michael Carrick, great job. Don't give him the job. Interview him in the summer. I think that's the way to go. But that's just one man's opinion and somebody else's might have a different one. Keel Robinson says, after 10 wins in a row, it's logical to say that's working. Let's invest in that. In my opinion, things slowly started going downhill for Ollie when Maguire and Ronaldo came in. We want guarantees life can't give us, says Keel. Good point. Long-time viewer, what's your ideal number of transfers and ideally who would you like to sign, says Ricky. Well, we got a really good reaction last night to what I said about Baleba. I think United, you know, you listen to one thing about they might have a really logical, intelligent plan for the summer and the manager. And then you keep hearing that they don't care how badly Baleba performs in the Premier League because they think he's a good player. I find that incredible. So for me, I can give you the transfer list. For me, I like the idea of 2 midfielders and a young midfielder because I think we're going to need 3. We have to keep Bruno Fernandes, by the way. Elliot Anderson and Tonali, I'd be very happy with. And a younger midfielder as well. A left back has to come in. Now, whether that's someone like Lewis Hall or Truffert, who are Premier League proven, or it's someone with a bit more experience from the continent, we need a left winger. I'd prefer that to be experienced. I mean, we've been linked to Diamande again. I'll tell you that in a minute. And then I would like to see an experienced goalkeeper to come in and support Le Mans and an experienced striker to come in and support Sesko. Now, then I'd like a couple of bench players because we're going to be in the Champions League. And I think there are injuries that would hurt us. But I don't see United signing between 6 and 8 players in the summer. But I think that's what we've got to do. There's a big warning. Now is not the time, but there is a big warning. I sit here and apparently Liverpool have got less points this season than David Moyes had in his season at Man United at this stage. That's incredible. So, you know, when David Moyes was appointed manager in 2013 and he got sacked in the March, but he managed us from August till the March. So in that season where we sacked him, Moyes had more points than what Slot's got now. That's shit. But it's also hilarious as a United fan that we might push Liverpool into the Europa League and we'll be in the Champions League. That's great. That's brilliant. However, there is a big warning. And we're not ready for that warning because we've not confirmed Champions League football yet, which is going to be a great day when we get it. I'm so excited. I love the new Champions League format. And the fact that we've not been in it in 2 years is embarrassing. So year three, let's go. However, I'm not under any illusion, and I don't think any of you aren't either, that next season, whatever we do now until May is a false dawn, because next season will not be like this. For me, there's nothing we can take from this season into next season, because next season is going to be ridiculous compared to now. You're going to go from low expectations and low standards to high standards. United are back, but then we're going to double up the amount of games we're playing. We're going to be playing at least, I would say, 12 Champions League games. You'd expect to do better in the Cups. So we could be playing another 20 games next season, which increases the intensity, injuries, demand, increases the need for consistency, and we haven't got the squad for it. So next season's going to be very difficult, whoever's in charge. We haven't got the squad for it. And the warning sign is Liverpool have gone from league champions to the Europa League. And they spent nearly $500 million. Newcastle have gone from Champions League to no Europe at all. So if that can happen to Newcastle and that can happen to Liverpool, what could happen to us next season? This summer can prevent that. It's not doom and gloom. I'm just saying, look at what's happened to Liverpool, look at what's happened to Newcastle, and look at why it's happened. We need between 6 and 10 players in the summer to be ready for next season. Otherwise, we're going to do exactly what Newcastle do. We're going to be buzzing our tits off with that we're in the Champions League. And then this time next year, we're going to be, fucking hell, can we get in the Europa League? And that's not sustainable. 1 year in the Champions League is not enough. You've got to be in there. And to stay in there, they've got to speculate. Tonali, Patrick Lynch. Oh, God, I am tired. Patrick, I've just called you Tonali. I don't know why. There's no context. Patrick Lynch with the super chat says, with regards to Tonali, even if he does want to go back to Italy, and it may be spin, but the fact that we're being linked to players of that profile is encouraging. Maybe naive, but makes me optimistic. Yeah, look, you know what? I can't remember which journalist wrote it. I'm surrounded by American sweets. I cannot have this for breakfast. I'm not eating yet. Got a moon pie. I saw a piece this morning. This will be a bit controversial, right? I saw a piece this morning and I can't remember which journalist it was, and there may be multiple people writing it. And they were talking about how Carrick is ridiculing Amrin in what he's done with Man United over the last 4 games. And I thought, it's such an obvious piece to write, but it's actually got no context when you think about it. Comparing Michael Carrick to Ruben Amrin and trying to make out that Wilcox did the right thing is just the argument of a moron, in my opinion, because it's like having two people, right? And Jason Wilcox says, Ruben Amrin, you know that house on the hill? I want you to get there, but it's a shorter path, but you've got a sword and you've got to go through all this rubble and all these thorns and all this undergrowth. And there might be tigers in there, and it's a shorter path, but you've got to fight your way through all that. Michael, your path is a little bit longer, but it's just a stroll. It's sunny. It's a stroll. Off you go. The pathways of the two are too different. Ruben Amrin was told to build Manchester United again in a different formation, in a different system. He was told to go and build something new. Michael Carrick's been told to just get us over the line. do what these players want, play the way they want to play, smile on the face. It's a short-term journey against what was clearly probably impossible when we look back in hindsight. So for a journalist to be writing, oh, Carrick's ridiculed Amrim, this, that and the other, well, of course he has. But the pathways are very different. Very, very different. And whose fault is that? Jason Wilcox. Who set the pathways? They demanded that Ruben Amrim rebuilt the club, probably didn't give him everything he needed, and certainly didn't give him the time he needed. So they've sacked him, and they've given Michael Carrick a very easy pathway of no pressure, just walk up that road, do what the players want. They're different pathways, and it surprises me that people can't see that. They weren't walking down the same path. And to make it about Carrick against Amrim is weird, because Jason Wilcox and the board set those pathways and they're very different. The mistake is on Wilcox. It's not on Amrim. He was at Sporting doing what he was doing. Man United decided that was the right pathway for United. Let's not pitch Amrim against Carrick. Let's remember who appointed Amrim, because I'm still baffled. I said it at the time and I'm baffled. I don't know why this board thought recruiting a 3-4-3 manager with a team that can't play it, and then not giving him $500 million, I still, to this day, do not understand why we did it. However, my point is that in relation to what Patrick was saying, is that we get told so many things and we are where we are. Ruben Amorim's not the manager anymore. Michael Carrick's the interim. Apparently in the summer, we're going to have a proper recruitment for the manager and the team. On face value, that's something to be optimistic about. The proof will be in the moon pie. The proof will be in the pudding. Do we have the summer transfer window where we sign between 6 and 10 players? And do we have the summer transfer window where we sit down with numerous good managers, interview them and pick the best one? If we recruit the best manager in the summer and we give them 6 to 10 players, I'm optimistic. It's very simplistic. It's very simple. If I'm Jim Radcliffe and I go, I want the best manager we can get and I want 6 to 10 players and there's the budget, perfect, let's get to work. But if we're going to scrimp and save on any of those points, which are very simplistic, then we're in trouble. If we're not going to go for the best in class manager and we're not going to buy between 6 and 10 players, then it becomes problematic. So on face value, it sounds doable and it sounds like the right things are coming out of the club. Whether you trust it or not, well, I don't trust the club. Let's see. If Casemiro and Ugarte is leaving, we need 2 number sixes, not a 6 and an 8. Tonali and Belaba would be smart business, says Marlowe. If Casemiro and Ugarte leave and you replace them with Tonali and Belaba, you'd have Tonali, Belaba and Mainoo and maybe Bruno for 3 midfield positions going into a huge season with a lot of games. Not enough, is it? You can already see that's not enough. If Ugarte and Casemiro go and we replace them with 2, we need a midfielder now. So we need 3. You could argue we need 4. I'm sort of with Nally. I think there's a scenario where we need 4 midfielders. I definitely think it's 3. And I think everybody's entitled to their opinion, but there has to be a narrative that we need 3 midfielders. It shouldn't be... I was stunned last week when I can't remember whether it was a content creator or a tweet or something. There's so much shit out there these days. There's so much shit content around United. It's abysmal. That are nothing to do with football. And people may say the United stand shit, but at least we talk about football. The point is, they were having a right old stonk on about United might sign 2 midfielders, and they were getting really they were a glazer, right? I can figure out probably who it was, but it's unfair to speculate. And I've only had 5 hours sleep, and so I might be slightly grumpy. But they were basically getting the tissues out because Man United might sign 2 midfielders, and I thought, oh god, it's this glazer out shit that feeds propaganda into the fan base and lowers the standards. I'm not excited about signing 2 midfielders. It's got to be 3. It's got to be 3. Casemiro's definitely going. Ugarte's definitely not going to be good enough. So that leaves you with Mainoo and Bruno. If I bring 3 in and I pretend that Mason Mount's a backup, 6 ain't enough. And Bruno and Mount and Mainoo can't really play as defensive midfielders. So we need three midfielders. We need three midfielders. But the club won't buy three. So they're spinning, we might buy two. I don't know why United are obsessed with Belaba, says Neelish. We need a DM badly, and Belaba has not got the control on the ball or the passing prowess. Belaba's an interesting player. I think more scrutiny needs to be made on him. I've got a video this week about the midfielder I'm going to put up, because I think I found our midfielder, and I think it would make for a good video where you can put yours in, because last night we had some really good names coming up. Belaba scores really high for interceptions and defensive duels. So he's good, he's intense, he covers the ground and he makes tackles. But Ugarte was like this. Ugarte was great at this at PSG and Sporting. Belaba's a little bit like Ugarte in the sense that before he came to Man United, Ugarte was one of the best in Europe for successful defensive actions, interceptions and winning the ball. What good's that done us at United? Because he's not actually very good on the ball. Now, Belaba, when it comes to passing, isn't terrible, but it's not really his game. So if you bring Belaba in and you want him to be Casemiro's replacement, you've got a lot of fucking work to do. This is not ready to go out of the box. Let's go. This is one of those annoying bloody book cupboards you buy for your kid and it comes in a flat pack and it ain't IKEA. It's drills, it's hammers, it's going to take time. So Belaba is not a Casemiro replacement out of the box. He is a work in progress, big time. I don't know why. So yeah, I don't know why we're so obsessed with him. BRT, welcome to the members club. Thanks for getting your badge in. You're a legend. Daniel Thompson says, hope you're well, Mark, and United stand. Great watch along last night. Thank you all the team for that. Made my first live Super Bowl experience great. Super Bowl bridge. You know what? I mean, I will shout out. We do it every year and it's not happening for another year now, but we do the Super Bowl watch along on That's Football and we kick ass out of everybody. Like we had 8,000 people watching for about 3 hours and then at 3 o'clock in the morning, we still had 7,000 watching. People who cover Man United and Arsenal as credible football content creators struggle to get 5,000 live. It was incredible for a sport that apparently is boring. And to be fair, it was a bit of a boring final, but it was good fun. So thanks for getting involved. Big question is, what will be the reaction if we lose a game? Doom or still give him the job? Well, look, I read something this morning. I don't know whether it's very credible. I got sent it in our group chat. And basically it said that, I think it was coming in from Team Talk. Crystal Palace, Fulham and Bournemouth are all interested in hiring Michael Carrick as manager if he doesn't land the permanent Man United job this summer. I actually think that might be the right move for Michael Carrick. Even if he goes and wins a load of games at Man United, we all know an interim bounce doesn't last forever. And the minute it goes wrong, people will go, oh, we've done it again. I don't know. Gary Neville knows Michael Carrick better than me. But if I was Michael Carrick, I'd sit there going, even if I win 10 games in a row, the minute I lose 3 games in a row, which will happen, they'll be going, oh, they've done an Ollie. It's almost like it doesn't matter how many games he wins. When the going gets tough, and it will, people will go, oh, we've done it again. So he's almost like on a hiding to nothing, even though it's probably his dream job. You could argue that Palace, Fulham or Bournemouth are perfect for him. You do the interim at Man United. He's still very young. You take the Fulham job. You do well there. The United job comes up in 3 years' time and you take it then. Or you become the assistant coach to the new manager at Man United and then you take the job in a few years' time. I think Michael Carrick, unlike Solskjaer, has the ability to be a future Manchester United manager. It's whether it's next season or it's he goes elsewhere and does something else for a little bit. I can't give you the answer on that. I don't know. I think he has the potential to be the next Manchester United manager, but I don't know whether it's the right thing to give it him now. But I think Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, Fulham would be very good jobs for him. But we'll have to wait and see. What do I think? I didn't answer the question. What do I think the reaction will be if we lose a game? It sounds amazing for me to say this because it gets leveled at us all the time from people who don't watch the show. I don't flip-flop on managers. I was very late at being Ollie out. I was very late being Jose out. I was never Amrim out. And I was very late being Ten Hag out, even if I don't even know if I was Ten Hag out. I think I said he's just got to go. I didn't really feel like it was the right thing to do. I just think it, the writing was on the wall. So, and I don't flip flop. I don't do, I see people out there who will go, Amrim in, Amrim out, Amrim in, Amrim out. Give it to Carrick. Don't give it to Carrick. Bring Ollie back, even though I wanted him sacked. There are some fans out there who just flip flop opinion. And unfortunately, I think that has entered society in modern day. People are obsessed with, you know, flipping between short form content. Whereas I think intelligent people have a long form view. I mean, we do primarily long form content. I'm not bigging us up, but the views are very big. The community is fantastic. And we apparently live in a world where people don't want long form content, where they can't watch a film. They have to just watch little clips. I think it's moronic, to be honest. I think it's sad. I say it to my kids. I think it's sad how your brain attention spans have been manipulated by modern society, that you've become, you can't sit and watch a 2-hour film. Your brain doesn't have the ability that we had growing up to watch a 3-hour film or a 2-hour film and understand a slow builder and the themes and the levels to it. It's all bam, 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 bam. But as a byproduct of that, your opinion changes ridiculously quick. You get manipulated. I don't think people really realize that all this short form content is massively manipulative. It provides overload of emotions for the brain. And long form content, reading a book, watching a film, watching something that's longer than 20 minutes, actually allows your brain to relax, form fully constructed opinions. Short form content's just this, that, and everybody contradicts themselves, flip flop, this, that, this, that. And to answer the question, the reason I said all that is that if Carrick loses a game, there'll be people out there who want to give him the job today, who, when he loses a game, will go get this Ollie fraud out of the club. You know it. Which is why I find it very difficult, because I'm like, I wouldn't give Carrick the job at the moment. Let's see where we are in the summer. Some people can't do that. The summer, I can't get through to lunchtime without changing my mind 50 times, let alone the summer. Maybe we're a dying breed, but I just think, like, just beware of this obsession with instant opinion and swiping up and down. Like, trust me, long form views are the way to go. You know, look at the bigger picture, take your time, be patient, read a book, watch a long film, slow your life down, you'll speed your life up. You can take a long form view. You can argue and debate whilst maintaining that long term view. Look, I've been very consistent about Carrick, for example. I've been very consistent about Belabor, for example. Let's use Belabor because we always use Carrick. I've always said about Belabor, if we sign him in the summer, I'll support him as a new signing. But it's alarming how inconsistent he's been this season. It's alarming how much Brighton wants him. And it's alarming how Man United keep putting it out there that he is a player that they believe is good, even though he's been bad. That's a long-term view. And I've held it for months. I've not changed it. Other people are, get me Belabor. Oh, he's shit. Don't get me Belabor. Oh, he's played well again. Get me Belabor. Oh, don't get him. He's rubbish. And it's boom, 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 boom. Whereas you can take a long-term view and have a conversation. Anyone who would moan if we got beat is a moron, says Robert McCormack. So let me answer that question. If we get beat, what do you think will happen? Well, there will be a collective in our fan base and the media who are short-term morons, as Robert says, who will flip like a fucking pancake and say, don't give Carrick the job, he's the new Ollie. I actually see that. I think when and if he loses, we will see a different side to Michael Carrick, which is a positive if he wants the job. Win-win-win's great. But you don't win forever. Everybody falls off. And if you want the job, you can't just show them winning. You've got to show them losing. And that sounds really weird because some people would say, well, if he wins all every game until the summer, you've got to give him the job. You probably have. But you'll do it blind because you won't know what happens when they lose. So in a way, losing a game probably enhances his chance of getting the job because they need to see how he reacts to that. Mark, look at the Luke Shaw quotes. If someone can point me in the right direction, I have got a little bit of time left. Tom Grant says, morning all. Let's hope it's the summer of the three musketeers midfield wise. Don't know about you guys, but I have a bad feeling about West Ham tomorrow. Preview live tonight at 8:00. I think it will be a difficult game. but we'll talk about it at 8 o'clock. We basically need half a team and a bench, says James. I agree with you there. I completely agree we need at least three midfielders, says Marlo. My point was that two number six is the priority. Oh, I completely agree. Bruno has created 27 more chances than Rice in second. He has 0.3 better overall rating than Rice in second. Best player in the league by a country mile, says Christoph. I mean, two different positions, to be fair, but I am on the bandwagon that we should be getting... Bruno Fernandes should be winning PFA Player of the Year. Certainly am in that position with that. Please do share the video if you're watching. Thanks, everybody, watching this morning. Please don't eat that moon pie. It's disgusting. I'm going nowhere near it, Kyle, this morning. Mohammed, that's an horrific... I almost respect Mohammed that he is trying to get me to say Dixon something rude from Sydney FC. Like, mate, I've been doing this for 10 years. It's like getting into the ring with Tyson Fury with one arm tied behind your back and you've got the build of Mr. Muscle. It wasn't very big. Like, you're getting into... You're trying to take down a goat here of the game when it comes to trying to get me to say two names that say something rude. Never going to happen. But thanks for your super chat. What's your views on Martel at Cologne as DM centre-back? There are some interesting players in... in the Bundesliga. Kempfield or something at Union Berlin is another one. Kaminski. There's some really interesting profiles of players. I don't know whether they're too... I think United want to go for something too, dare I say, obvious than up and coming. Mainly's been great. Does he make the World Cup squad? Says Dave. Couldn't give a shit. Am I in the minority here? I really don't give a shit if Mainu makes the World Cup squad. It doesn't bother me at all. He made the Euros squad, did really well and got injured for the next year. If his motivation is to go to the World Cup, I get it. It's the World Cup. It's going to be amazing. But as a Man United fan, I really don't care. He's not in my best England 11 anyway. So if he goes, he's on the bench, which is great for him. I don't care. I'm not that bothered about... I mean, Luke Shaw to the England team. Couldn't give a shit. I hope he doesn't make it. Don't think he's good enough. Lewis Hall's better. O'Reilly's better. I don't think he should go. If he makes it, I don't care. I'm not bothered. Same for Maguire. It doesn't bother me. Like, they've not been in the England squad for ages, so I don't care if they get in the England squad. I can see the value of taking them because they've hardly played any football. So they'd be quite fresh. But yeah, I'm not bothered. I want Man United to be in the Champions League. And anything else is secondary to that. Terrible day to learn Sweeney Todd isn't a real barber, says Team. And you're absolutely right about not trusting these players, says Ashish. Don't forget it's the same back line in midfield when Ten Hag was here. We still need an overhaul. Is it exactly the same? Well, I suppose it is, isn't it? It is Ten Hag's back four and it is Ten Hag's midfield. Bloody hell. Never thought about that. I knew it was his midfield. Shaw and Delo have 18 years between them at Man United, says Francis. How many signings do you expect from Glinios, says Rajaf? I mean, I don't know. Roll a dice. Could be three, could be six. Don't think it'll be any bigger than a dice roll, though. I think we need between 6 and 10. Close to 10. I guarantee you, roll a dice. It'll be a number on a dice, a six-sided dice. It won't be higher than 6. We need to wait until May to make decisions regarding Carrick, and it was another great Super Bowl watch-along last night, says Jeff. Well, thank you very much for tuning in. And thank you very much to Chris Jackson. I've read that one as well. I'm waiting on these Luke Shaw quotes. And look, unless Luke Shaw's come out and apologised for putting England before Man United and going there injured and coming back there injured, I'm not really interested. How many signings? Harsh but fair. You won't change my mind. How many signings do you expect? We've done that. Should Player of the Year have a 5.5 average rating, says Robert McCormack. I see, this is a great point. Your average rating for Bruno Fernandes this season is about 5.5 and we want to give him Player of the Year. However, that's a head fuck, isn't it, really? Because he probably hasn't had... He probably justifies the low player rating across the season, I would agree. But then you look at what he delivers. And most of the season, he wasn't playing as a 10. I think as a 10, I don't think he's had lower than a 6 since he's been a 10, has he? So, four midfielders is a must. We can cope in other areas next season if we need to, Mr. Saunders says. Thank you very much. Another manager saga to shy away from transfers. Can't bring in any players when they don't know who the manager is. It could be a cash-saving exercise, says Jason. Oh, mic drop. Jason might have just dropped the comment of the year. Does the manager saga serve a purpose to save money? Even if you're going to give it to Carrick, you're part of the managerial process. We can't give you the job until July. Oh, it's July. We can't sign everybody. Is the managerial process a way to save the club money by saying we can't really buy players until we get the manager and we can't get the manager until July? We'll have to wait and see on that, Jason. It could be a hot take. Once Ollie started losing, he kept on losing. The same could happen with Carrick, says James. Well, look, I don't want Man United to lose, but I think the point is, when you're winning, you think you can't lose. And when you lose, you realise you can lose. And you start losing. So maybe that's what could happen. I'm looking for this bloody thing that somebody just told me about. Let me have a look. Don't forget to watch the video this morning. I'm going to put it in the live chat, in the video description. Red alert, it's on the homepage. Really good video, only 8 minutes long. It'll get you thinking. Check it out. Oh, okay, here we go. Luke Shaw on Carrick. He's made lots of difference, but for me, the biggest one is he knows the club. He knows exactly what's needed to win football matches, to make everyone happy and to enjoy what we're doing. So Luke Shaw is basically giving Michael Carrick a big up because he knows the club. This is the same Luke Shaw who can talk about knowing the club or how important the club is, but can be injured from February until May, miss the FA Cup final, but get himself fit for England and then come back for the start of the season and miss another 5 months injured. This is a guy who clearly put England before Man United, but is now telling us how Michael Carrick has been so good because he knows what the club's all about. Like Luke Shaw knows what this club's all about. Mate, if you knew what the club was all about, you never would have done what you did for England. I can't get over it. I'm sorry. I've gone down a rabbit hole again. I just can't listen to Luke Shaw talk about the virtues of what it means to be a Man United player or person. And yet he did that and never apologised for it. I still think he's probably got a lot of connections in the media because the club looked after him as well. Luke Shaw's probably, if he saw this, he'd say it's really unfair. Luke, right? If Paul Pogba had done that, the media would have crucified him. They would have absolutely, if Paul Pogba had sat there injured from February until the Euros, gone to the Euros, played for France in the final, then come back injured again for another few months, he would have been crucified by this. Can you imagine what certain journalists would have done and ex-players would have done to Pogba? And he did it and no one said a fucking word. The only people who ever spoke about it was the fans. And I used to really respect Luke Shaw. I used to think he was a good player when people used to say he was fat and shit and all this. I thought he was a good player. But I checked out on him when he did that. If he came out and apologised for it or explained it, I think it would have done a load of good. But the fact that he actually stayed quiet about it and he's dropped enough over the years that he loves playing for England, I just think he likes England more than Man United. You know? Hi, Mark. I'm in Manchester for the week. Can you recommend a place in Manchester to watch the West Ham game? Thanks in advance. Ayus, I'm very rarely in Manchester to watch Manchester United play, so I don't know. I think people in the chat. I know a few pubs, but I don't know whether they would have it on. So hopefully some people in the chat can help you with that or even the comments, Ayus. But enjoy it. Can we acknowledge how much lack of love Giggs gets as class of 99? Well, probably controversial, but Ryan Giggs not in the Premier League Hall of Fame as the biggest Premier League winner is, I don't know what it is, but ultimately, obviously, we're all aware of the court case that led to nothing. And some people will always, in the court of public opinion, i.e. Mason Greenwood, make their mind up, and that doesn't make them wrong or right. However, I just think the Premier League should not be picking and choosing who goes in the Premier League Hall of Fame when there's probably people in the Premier League Hall of Fame who have done things as well. I mean, Rio Ferdinand's in the Premier League Hall of Fame. There's a few things that he's been accused of over the years. And he got banned for one. So I'm not saying Rio Ferdinand shouldn't be in there. He should, but they're, I mean, look, I'm a Man United fan, so I know what Man United fans have been through, players have been through. I'm trying to think. Look, there might be a Chelsea player on that list. Someone says John Terry's on there. So look, I think the Premier League are playing a silly game with Ryan Giggs, because people will always associate Ryan Giggs with what he was accused of. But ultimately, he didn't go to court. He didn't get found guilty. So he's won the Premier League more than anybody else. And I think football fans are also mature enough to realise that we're not going for a pint with these people. We're not inviting them round for Christmas. A lot of footballers maybe are knobheads, and I'm not saying Ryan Giggs is, but we can't judge, we can't remove what they did as players because of what they may have done off the pitch. If somebody's been found guilty, then that's a different story. But just give him the bloody... just put him in the Premier League Hall of Fame. Amazing player. Manchester United legend. Put him in the Hall of Fame. But I know it opens up a debate, and I'm not saying the people who don't want it to happen aren't raising a good point. But my point is, and I'm not, it's not political, but the Premier League are playing a game of, you know, it's all right for some, but not others. Like, ultimately, it's a football organisation, and it's about what they did on the football pitch. You're telling me that there's not a footballer out there that has done really, really well and is a legend of the game, but hasn't behaved badly off the pitch. Some of them cover it up. Some of them pay. Some of them get bloody injunction orders, you know? Good point, though, Class of 99. Thank you very much. Okay, right. I will stop the show there, but I can't believe you've got an hour out of me this morning on that little sleep, and it's flown by as well. Great show this morning. Please do not forget, it's 8 o'clock tonight for the preview live for West Ham. Lots to talk about in that. West Ham are doing well at the moment. Beth is with you for a new show and reaction to the press conference for Carrick, which is going to be around 2 o'clock as normal. And don't miss the show I put up, the video I did this morning. It's called Red Alert. Man United can't ignore this. Watch it. I think it's the most important thing. Really do. Going on with Man United at the moment. It will take you 10 minutes to watch it. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. Great show this morning. I'll speak to you all in a bit. Mm-hmm.